tell you about Public Square. There are several lines that meet other edges.
Youth of this country who are already in a disillusioned, disenchanted state will be encouraged.
Where we talk about the fine margins. Sometimes it's black, white, and blurry.
It's also informed by the need to save costs and reduce legislative time.
Then there are the actors right at the center, coming through political processes, which could be dramatic.
To the extent of this impeachment, if Parliament does not raise this money.
And controversial.
If driving to the roads is a getting the macabre down, compatibility is that of government.
And there's you to help connect the dots from the top to the bottom. Join Rotimi Sankore and Arogo Obo at the Public Square every Friday from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. 99.3 Nigeria Info.
Public Square, we'll be right back.
FM Nigeria Info. Time check is 5 minutes past the hour, 4 p.m. It's time for Public Square with Rotimi Sankore and Arogo Obo. My name is Ezugu Chukudi now. Today's episode is an abridged version, and that is because as your number one radio station for talk news and sports, from the 5 o'clock hour, our superstar sports team, Femi and the Gang, will bring you live proceedings from the game between the Super Eagles of Nigeria and the Lone Stars of Liberia. I'm sure you know that the Super Eagles of Nigeria will kick off the World Cup qualifying campaign this evening. There's a game by 5 p.m., so stay tuned to the show. But on Public Square today, the program focus is on the National Association of Resident Doctors strike. And we'll be taking an update from the first vice president of the National Association of Resident Doctors, Dr. Arome Adejo. He would share insights with respect to what the situation is. And thereafter, Rotimi Sankore would join me on the show and would have our listeners join to ask questions and also share their thoughts with respect to the conversation. Now, it's important that we pay attention so that you get all of the information. Now, Dr. Adejo told me that he's supposed to be in a meeting from 5 p.m. So I'll try as much as I can to have this conversation and thereafter allow him join the other members of the team that will be meeting with the Honorable Minister. But straight up, we'll go into the conversation and discuss. Good afternoon, Dr. Arome Adejo. You're welcome to the show.
Good afternoon.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much for joining. Thank you so much for joining Public Square today. Now, it's important for people who are our listeners to have an idea of what the background of the conversation is. On the 2nd of August 2021, the National Association of Resident Doctors embarked on industrial action. Now, if you do the quick maths, check your calendar. Today is September the 3rd. So we're looking at well over 1 month. And this is the fourth industrial action in 1 year. People are asking questions. What exactly do we need to do to find a lasting solution to this problem? An update, the Honorable Minister for Labor, you know, threatened and vowed to deal with the striking doctors and dragged them before the National Industrial Court. We're looking at proceedings from there. The NMA has also issued a 21-day ultimatum stating that the issues be resolved or they would also join in the strike. Dr. Arome, I would like you to just briefly tell us why the NARD is on strike.
Okay, thank you very much. Basically, the Nigerian Association of Resident Doctors have been on strike because of the recurrent complaints we have been having for the past 10 years. And this is bordered on both welfare of our members and the provision of basic equipment in the hospital. But the recent agitation actually started January this year when we find out that about 20 to 30%, if not 40, of our members who were on GIFMIS previously that were supposed to be migrated into the IPS platform, their salary was not paid. And when we tried to reach out to those concerned, they just assured us that everything will be looked into. Mm. We continued with this light and pleaded and spoke with them. And up to the extent that went on the first strike this year. After the first strike, during the first strike, we signed a memorandum of action, an action addendum, in which a timeline was stipulated for the migration of our members, for the payment of the arrears of their salaries, and as per, and for the resolution of the health services issue. So, finally, the arrears of 3 months were paid. Migration of our members commenced. So we call off the strike. Immediately we call off the strike. The head of service of the Federation wrote to the Accountant General's office and instructed that they stop the migration of our members for no just reason. And we went back, tried to know how best to jump around it. We could not. We had numerous visits to the head of to the office of the head of service, and we were not given audience. We tried to reach out to the director of hospital services. We had no luck. We reached out to the Minister of Health, no luck. We now wrote to the Minister of Labor, and same to the Minister of Health, same to the office of the Accountant General of the Federation. And the only people that responded to us was the Minister of Labor, who called us a week to our meeting in Umuahia. Now, permit me to let you know that after the 3 months arrears were paid, they stopped payment of salaries again. So leading to the accumulation of almost 5 months now of payment. And we had two more meetings after the suspension of the strike, in which our members were very angry with us. They even accused us that we have collected Ghana Must Go from the Minister of Employment. And we told them that, look, we called off this strike because of Nigerians. We are Nigerians. We have to reach that breaking point before we can ever think of going back. Let's continue pleading. Let's continue using advocacy. Nobody wants strike. And this is how we spoke with our members until last month, when we had our meeting at Umuahia. Sorry, until in July, ending of July. And before then, the Minister of Labor called us, and in the meeting, he berated the government officials for not living up to the plan agreement.
You said the Minister for Labor berated the government official not living up to the plan of the agreement?
Yes.
All right.
Yes, in the meeting, he told them crystal clear that they didn't fulfill their own part of the agreement. And in the agreement, the longest timeline was 5 weeks. After the time he was blaming them, that was 15 weeks post-suspension of the strike. So we have given a time interval of almost 9 to 10 weeks. And nothing was done. So that was why I personally came out of the meeting, and I praise the Minister of Labor for being genuine and being truthful. That was what led to the praises. And we told them categorically that as it is now, we cannot stop any action from our members. They have 1 more week to try and sort this out. And of course, their usual way of life, they went home sleeping. They collected their DTA for coming to the meeting with us and went home and slept off. And lo and behold, we had our neck in Umuahia, and the Congress decided, arising from there, to go on an indefinite and total strike action. And that is the strike action that we have been until now.
All right.
Permit me to also say that when we started the strike action, the Minister of Labor and Employment told Nigerians on air that he will not call us again for negotiation, even if we are ready. So he did not call us. And the first negotiation we had through the Nigerian Medical Association was on the 20th of August.
On the 20th of August, 18 days after the strike action.
20 days after the strike action. And we now came to realize that the government was doing that because they want to save money by invoking no work, no pay. So you've not paid us for 4 to 5 months. You waited for us to now go on strike. You waited for 20 days extra because you have a hidden agenda. And that's why, as it is presently, there is a stalemate. We are insisting that our members' salary arrears must be offset. The August salary should be paid. Our members should be migrated. The house officers' circular should be looked into. And the state institute also should be looked into before we can come back.
All right. Now, you have stated the minimum conditions that government must meet before the NARD calls off the strike. But if we look at the current state of the strike action and the grandstanding on the part of the government and also the leadership of the NARD, from all that you have highlighted, what do you think in the immediate, if met, would compel the leadership of the NARD to have a rethink of this action and say, well, we're going to give it another chance to see how we can resolve this issue?
All right. Thank you very much. Well, you will, of course, agree with me that there must be payment made for work done.
True.
And apart from that, since the health of Nigerians is involved here, we should also know that the lives of the doctors and their families are also involved here.
Very true.
The life of essential workers should also be essential.
True.
Because if an essential worker is not hale and healthy, there is no how he can render utmost essential services to you.
Very true.
So essential workers' life also is very, very essential. My members are in debt. Some of them wrote their exams in debt. Some of them borrowed money to pay the school fees of their children. Some of them borrowed money to pay the house rent in the houses they are living. My members have resorted to charity to be able to survive from hand to mouth. So, and as it is right now, we can no longer trust the government. So, the immediate thing should be that all the salary arrears should be paid in 2030, including the August salary. The medical resident training fund should be paid immediately. Our members on Give Me's, there should be enough commitment for the migration. Same with the local doctors who have been casualized, which has led to this massive brain drain. Casualization of local doctors implies that you employ a doctor of the same experience and cadre, you pay almost half of what you are paying the other guy, and he does the same work, and he has the same expenses. And his contract is being renewed every month. When you casualize health workers, you don't give the best of healthcare to your citizens. Because if I don't have hope that I have a job after a month, my mind will be divided and I will not give 100% to that work. Because I will be losing the time I will need to work to treat you, to go and look for greener pasture, or to be reading to write lab and Saudi examination to travel abroad.
Now, talking about brain drain and those who are jostling to travel abroad, we all saw the long queues of doctors at the interview for jobs that were put together by the Saudi authorities. What are the thoughts of the NARD leadership on the exodus?
Yes. Initially, when we started this, our school year in September last year, our main aim was to try and discourage brain drain. And we brought out channels in which we want to discourage that. We came to realize that one of the major factors affecting our doctors is that they live in they live in Maraba and work in National Hospital because they cannot afford houses around National Hospital. And of course, you know that the government that the hospital is supposed to provide accommodation for resident doctors. That's why they are called resident doctors.
True.
They don't have the accommodation. These people have to go far to rent houses so they can be able to work. When I find out that because of the condition of service and the unsatisfactory job environment, that is the major reason leading to brain drain. Then the next thing is welfare. So to tackle that housing issue, we liaise with Federal Mortgage Bank, in which we ask our members who we love to get houses around the hospital. Because you will agree with me that if you have a good accommodation, and if you can afford second-hand car, not even first-hand car, your life, your problem is 50% gone. So the major reason why our members are traveling abroad is because there is no job satisfaction. This also involves you working in a hospital. The hospital does not have a functional CT scan. You have a patient in trauma that you need a CT of the head for you to be able to save this patient. You cannot. This has led to a lot of preventable deaths. And the relatives of this patient will take their annoyance on you, having watched a lot of medical programs, soap and operas on TV, showing them how healthcare providers should behave. And if they see that you're not doing the same thing, they will take that annoyance on you. Hmm. We have had instances where our members were molested for no fault of theirs. There is even one in FCT where a female doctor was stripped naked.
Hmm.
Was stripped naked by the relatives of a man that died. It was a very big issue. So these are the things that make the job environment hostile. There is no security within the hospital environment. There is no security because if there is, patients should not be fighting the doctor. Even if the doctor is wrong, there are channels in which you will channel your complaint. Apart from that, the security outside the hospital environment, doctors are being kidnapped. There is a doctor that was kidnapped recently on his way from Benin, where we went to have the Nigerian Medical Association NEC, because the few doctors are supposed to be very rich. So we are now like an endangered species. So these are the reasons why our members took to flight and run out of this country.
Mm.
But we kept on telling them that, look, the Nigerians, they are your brothers, they are your parents, they are your uncles, nieces, and nephews. You cannot abandon them. If you run away, how will you expect me to treat my family and yours? Because if we have 10,000 doctors and 5,000 run away, the remaining 5,000 can never be able to give optimal health care to the rest.
Very true.
So we try to discourage them. But unfortunately, the attitude of the government towards our members' welfare, even led to we that are even discouraging them to not encourage them to leave. Because I cannot see my member who is late, his family are suffering. There is no death in service benefit. I cannot see my member whose wife is pregnant in the hospital he works that has not been paid for some months, paying for the wife to deliver. That is the height of man's inhumanity to man.
Very true, Dr. Romeo. I'm very sure that a lot of people, you know, agree with your perspective, but I would like you to just hold on for a bit. I would head out for a quick break. When we return, we'll carry on with the conversation on Public Square. Please stay tuned to 99.3 FM Nigeria Info.
You are listening to your number one station for talk.
Your number one station for talk.
99.3 Nigeria Info. Let's talk. Let me tell you about Public Square. There are several lines that meet other edges.
Youth of this country who are already in a disillusioned, disenchanted state will be encouraged.
Where we talk about the fine margins. Sometimes it's black, white, and blurry.
It's also informed by the need to save costs and reduce legislative time.
Then there are the actors right at the center, coming through political processes, which could be dramatic.
To the extent of this man, if Parliament does not rise this morning.
And controversial.
If driving to the roads is a getting the macabre done, compatibility is that of government.
And there's you to help connect the dots from the top to the bottom. Join Rotimi Sankore and Arogo Obo at the Public Square every Friday from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. 99.3 Nigeria Info.
Ladies and gentlemen,
this is the Public Square.
Welcome back to Public Square on 99.3 FM Nigeria Info with Rotimi Sankore and Arogo Obo. My name is Ezugu Chukwudi. Now, in the first half of the show, I was speaking to the first vice president of the National Association of Residents, Dr. Arome Adejo, and he shared insight with respect to why the NAD is currently on strike, the current state of the strike action, and the minimum conditions that government will have to meet before the strike is called off. And finally, the situation where you have doctors, you know, jostling to leave the shores of Nigeria to work elsewhere. I'd also be joined in this second half by Rotimi Sankore, and we would have an extended conversation. Now, Dr. Adejo made me promise that I would allow him get off the show early enough, and I even promised to add 10 additional minutes. He says there's a meeting with the Honorable Minister. I hope that, you know, after the deliberations, we are going to receive good news. But I'll just let him wrap before I carry on with the conversation with Rotimi Sankore. Dr. Adejo, thank you very much for your patience.
That meeting was supposed to be a secret. Now you have announced it to the world.
Oh, I am really...
We don't announce our meetings again, because most times when we go, people become expectant.
I am really sorry about the situation, but
no problem.
I would like to be positive and hope that, you know, we would hear something different this time around. Now, let me ask this question real quick before I bring in Rotimi Sankore. The Nigerian Medical Association issued a 21-day ultimatum. For so many people, they say it has gotten to a critical point. And if the NMA wades in, we're most likely going to see the government, you know, act responsibly, in quotes, because of the subtle pressure that the NMA would add. What do you think of this ultimatum issued by the NMA?
Yeah, I was in Benin when that ultimatum was decided by the NEC, and I must say that I was highly impressed, because that ultimatum was issued because the NMA wants government to be responsible. The NMA, they were very shocked and surprised that government can go to this length to put the lives of Nigerians at risk. Let me tell you one thing. We have noticed that people are dying left, right, and center. And this also includes us. We are not excluded. We have been casualties in this strike too. So we are not happy. If you can observe, I am not my usual vibrant self.
True.
Because I'm beginning to just think that it is either something is wrong with us Nigerians, or something is wrong with the people that we elect. Because there's no how you can allow your country to be on strike for good 1 month, and instead of you to solve that, you take these poor people that you are owing to court. You are owing people. You've not paid them. They have families. You take them to court. And that is not enough. You are doing no work, no pay. Because you feel you are Lord and Master. Because you feel you are God. If any of these people is listening to me right now, the life of Nigerians that have been lost will forever be on their conscience. I will take my own part of the blame. Definitely. That is what leadership is.
All right.
But they should also live up to their own part of the...
All right, very true. Now, let me quickly bring in Rotimi Sankore to the conversation. Hello, Rotimi.
Hello, Chukwudi.
Thank you so much for your patience. Now, quick one. This week, we had, you know, special conversations with respect to the health sector in Nigeria, touching on several subjects. And every time we had the conversation where you reeled out the data and the statistics, you know, we would discuss what exactly must government do or what should be the role of government in dealing with the problem. Now, Dr. Adejo has given us an extensive situation report of what of how the situation currently stands. And it would appear like definite action on the part of government would find a lasting solution to this problem. I'm sure you heard when he mentioned that the head of service, you know, wrote and the migration that had already commenced, an end was put to that. I don't know. What exactly do we expect from leadership when we are faced with such a situation? I mean, in every right-thinking situation or state, doctors who are essential workers should not even, you know, leave their duty post for an hour. But we have a situation where since the 2nd of August, we have had doctors down their tools and the complaints have been welfare, remuneration, and everything that concerns their condition of service. What exactly is the problem?
Oh, so dear. I mean, what a way to end with. From everything that we have seen on this matter, it's just reasonably clear that the resident doctors are being treated with contempt. I mean, there is no nice way to sugar the matter. Doctors are being treated with contempt. And we know why. We know why. Because every few months, you see presidential spokespersons, Minister of Employment, Minister of Information, justify why government officials from the most senior to the most junior, justifying why they can, should, will continue going abroad for routine checkup. Not that something big happened and it was said, oh, you know, we can't handle it here. Routine checkup at the highest levels of government. So, you know, the reasons for the insensitivity are reasonably clear. And that essentially is that as ordinary citizens, God help them. Because if that was not the case, why should doctors be owed, not for 1 month, not for 2 months, not for 3 months, not for 4 months, 5 months. 5 months doctors are being owed for work done. What is expected? That they will trek to work? Resident doctors are supposed to be resident in the hospital. And that is not even the case. So even transport money, they will have to beg and borrow for 5 months. Imagine if you're a resident doctor that's supposed to be working in Ikeja, for instance, or at Lutz, and you are living in Shangwata or in Ikorodu or Badagry. You are going to trek to work or beg or stand by the roadside asking for lift, or you enter bus and you will not pay. How is that supposed to work? If it was in a country where public officials are held responsible for criminal negligence, we know what will be happening to the responsible ministers now. You know, I mean, criminal negligence is a legal term. It's not a criticism. It's a legal term for when you are responsible for, say, public policy or anything that is supposed to help save the public's lives or whatever, and you just act carelessly, and as a consequence of it, a lot of people lose their lives. That's the legal definition. Instead, the doctors have been taken to industrial courts. People that are being owed to do what? To compel them to trek, to walk. How? I mean, these are already doctors that are, there are not enough of them. I always emphasize, we do not have, for Nigeria's population size, we are short over 450,000 doctors.
Over 450,000?
Yes. I mean, let me just give a quick comparison so everybody understands this thing. So, the UK is a favorite destination for our public officials to go for routine checkup. UK, there are 68 million people there. They have just under 300,000 doctors. Just under 300,000 doctors for 68 million. We're over 200 million in Nigeria. That is roughly four times the size of the UK. We have 75,000 doctors in Nigeria, of which 33,000 are already abroad. Or to bring it down to Lagos, Lagos is 20 million people plus. Lagos has about 2,000 doctors working in Lagos. We have a population of over 20 million. Compare with a country like Cuba, which is roughly 11 million people. Cuba has 95,000 doctors. A country of 11 million has 95,000 doctors. Lagos of 20 million has 2,000 doctors. Cuba has more doctors than Nigeria. Now, a country that is 20 times smaller in population.
So
Chukwudi, please, you know, I mean, you can see, you know, the gap. So, first of all, our educational institutions, the investment is not there for the number of doctors. We are short over a million nurses and midwives.
Rotimi,
that investment we need, even to keep up the numbers, is not there. Then the little number we have are being owed.
It's alarming. Now, I know I promised Dr. Arome to go off the platform 10 minutes before time, but I would try to turn on the phone lines and get as many calls as possible, because I'm sure people would want to, you know, make contributions and also ask questions. Please tell me your name, where you're calling from, and go straight to the point. I am very certain that my own 10 minutes not work again, but I'll make sure that the 10 minutes he wants, I am going to ensure that he goes off the platform then. So the 6 minutes before then, 0700-993-993-993-01465-7190. Tell me your name, where you're calling from, and go straight to your contribution or your question. Hello.
Hello.
Good afternoon. What's your name and where are you calling from? Yes, I can hear you loud and clear.
Good evening.
Yes.
This is Pastor Ladipo calling from Orilego.
Pastor Ladipo, you're welcome. 40 seconds. Go.
Okay. You see, we have people who don't have conscience at the end of affair. Even the so-called professionals, they allow politics to carry them away. Ask them. Invite the minister. Ask him in your questions. Ask him if his aides, his own special aides, that are not relevant, contributing anything, if they are being owed salary. Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much for your contribution. Thank you for also keeping it very short. I'm going to go back to the phone lines and take as many calls as possible, but I'm also keeping an eye on the time, and I would let Dr. Arome come in and then probably just his final statements with respect to this conversation. But before then, one more call. Hello. Hello.
Hello.
Good afternoon. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Richard Vogel.
Richard,
Chukwudi.
Yes, I can hear you loud and clear.
After point.
Hello?
If you have any side effect, if you have any year to run to, and they're always going for change. It's so sad. God will bless you. Doctor, continue. God will.
All right. Thank you very much for your contribution. He's also talking about routine check and people who leave the shores of Nigeria. One more call before I allow Dr. Arome have his final say on this subject. 0700-993-993-993-01-465-7190. Now, allow me just say something before I let him off the platform. Dr. Arome.
Yes, sir. Oh,
no,
I can give you 5 more minutes.
Okay, 5 more minutes. Thank you very much. Now, it's clear that even those who go into these meetings on a daily basis or every time the meeting is scheduled, you know, just go in because it appears like they are dealing with a group of people who don't care about what the situation is. I would like you to make a passionate appeal to whoever the representatives of the government are, and then also, you know, what you expect you, people who are members of the NARD, you know, just encourage them to hold on and just look forward to the future with hope.
All right. Thank you once again. I sincerely want to appreciate those that have called in and my distinguished our distinguished guest over there. And I'm marveled at his statistics. He got it spot on. But the thing I just want to add is that I don't think we're even up to 20,000 now, because out of the 30,000 that is left behind, I think 10,000 must have left between December last year and this time. That is the truth. Because every day a doctor leaves this country. And the painful thing is that we don't go to US and UK again. We go to other African countries like Liberia, Senegal. In fact, Ghana is even big now. We just go anywhere that our welfare is priority and we get jobs and we get job satisfaction. And I want to state categorically that I'm quite shocked that up to now. Yeah, hello, can I go ahead, please?
Yes, I can hear you loud and clear. Go on.
Yeah, I'm quite shocked that up to now we've not been invited by the president of this country, because it is quite obvious that the people that he put in charge, they don't even know what they're doing. Because there is no how you can tell me that you are negotiating with people that you are wooing and you are telling them to go back to work, that they should be patriotic. I would like to send a crystal clear message to all the government officials out there. Just donate a month of your salaries so that the healthcare worker can be able to buy pure water at work. If all of them put their 1 month salaries in a specific account confidently and without lying, then they will not have the moral right to tell us to be patriotic. And I also want to tell them that when it comes to patriotism, an average doctor is more patriotic than any of them. That is the truth. Because some people like me came back to the shores of this country from abroad where we trained. And we are facing this kind of enormous challenges placed in the hospital by the so-called government officials. And I want to challenge each and every one of us to come back, each and every one of them to come out openly and beat their chest and give us the name of the hospital where they patronize in this country. So what they do is that they will abandon the hospital, turn it to just build it so that they can be able to travel abroad at any time of their wish to go for medical tourism and collect DTA for the taxes you and I pay. I also want to state it categorically that if we, as a student of public health, if we have not gotten the primary health care system to work efficiently, we are zero as per healthcare in this country. Because what our government officials do is to build a gigantic building in the name of a primary healthcare center. And when you go there 3 weeks after, you see rats and lizards living there.
All right, Dr. Arome, thank you very much for joining us on the show. It's 10 minutes exactly to 5 p.m. And like I promised, I am going to allow you go off the platform now. Thank you so much.
Thank you, my pleasure, and good evening once again.
Good evening. Now, we're going to carry on with the conversation with Rotimi Sankore, and I am still going to take, you know, some calls on the show. I have this message from Sally Sue from Ojo Lagos. Sally Sue says, hi, Chukwudi, it's high time we start following up the issues and doctors' meetings and the minister's sitting and stop keeping it as a secret from the people and to reform the health sector. All Nigerians are eligible to free health care. Thank you so much for your contribution, Sally Sue from Ojo Lagos. Rotimi, you're still on the line. I'm going to have you make one or two contributions. No, let me take some calls. The phone lines are ringing off the hook now. Hello. Dropped call. Hello. Hello.
Hello, Chukwudi.
Good afternoon. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Olatunde calling from Meron.
Olatunde from Meron. You're welcome. Go ahead, Olatunde.
Thank you, my brother. Chukwudi, please, I just want to see that is there no way you can bring the minister, either that of the labor and productivity and the minister of health, to the program? At least let Nigeria hear from them. It's somehow, the way this government of Russia are treating the Nigerian citizens is very bad. I think the doctors should continue with their strike. Honestly, it's
all right.
Bad.
All right. Thank you very much for your contribution. One more call before I allow Rotimi wrap. Hello. Hello.
Hello.
Good afternoon. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Oh, my name is Sam.
Sam, you're welcome. Go ahead, Sam.
Yes. How are you, sir?
I'm doing well. Go ahead.
I like your program.
Thank you so much.
And Rotimi is, in fact, is reliable any day, any time.
All right, Sam.
And you yourself for your community work.
All right, Sam. God bless
but
you
please,
too.
Please, this 21 days ultimatum by the doctors is too long. It's supposed to be 10.
99.3 Nigeria Info, your number one station for talk. Let's talk.
Ladies and gentlemen,
this is the Public Square.
Welcome back to Public Square with Rotimi Sankore and Aogobo. My name is Ezugu Chukwudi. Sometimes this technology team, they jump. Rotimi Sankore is still on the line and I am just going to allow him rap before we exit the studio. But there's a message from Alaba Lakpe from Oniba Ojo. He says, I am a big fan and supporter of President Buhari, but it is very unfortunate if PMB can just take away his mind and ears from the doctor's issue. He says it's a no for him. The president must meet with them without the labor minister, and he shouldn't allow anybody say anything because he says the minister is not a true representative of the government. Rotimi Sankore, back to you. We have 60 seconds to wrap. Do you think that a meeting between the president and the National Association of Resident Doctors without the presence of the honorable minister would achieve any results?
We don't need meeting, Chukwudi. Has their salary not been appropriated? Is it not in the budget? Is it not in the supplementary budget? What do we need meeting for? Why? I mean, there are just some things that don't make sense. Money has been appropriated, allocated. You just need to do the necessary, and they are paid automatically. So this is not a meeting matter. I mean, we've been discussing all week on the health sector issues. Just to remind, Nigeria has the fourth lowest life expectancy in the world. We have the highest child mortality in the world. Roughly 1 million children under 5 die every year. It's the highest. Women, the risk of death from pregnancy is 1 in 21 in Nigeria. There are only 4 countries that are worse than Nigeria.
These stats are really alarming, Rotimi Sankore.
Yes. So this thing doesn't need meeting. Just do the necessary, pay them the money, and then let everything return to normal.
Thank you so much. Just do the necessary, pay them their money, and let everything return to normal. Remember, you can join another episode of Public Square next week, Friday, from 4 p.m. Today, we're having an abridged version because of the game. Stay tuned to 99.3 FM, Nigeria Info.